flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Ah, let's do this. Let's go. Grandy is in for Dibs. 888-957-9570. That was abrupt. There we go. I was going to say, I wasn't done with that yet.
What happened?
The show's just starting. I'm like, is it over? Nothing is over until we say it is. 888-957-9570. You threw out a banger.
Did I?
You did. You threw out a banger earlier today. And it is. It's one of those questions that stops you in your tracks for a second. It makes you think. I love stuff like that. I love that. Say something or ask something where you're like, hold on, okay, let me actually think about this, and let me see if I can come up with what I hope is an intelligent answer. And so before we answer it, we'll ask it, and we'll throw it out to you. And y'all can take a moment, because we're on the air till 6.
We got time here.
We got time, but we, as always, would love to hear from you, interact with you. Whether that's YouTube, whether that's text, whether it's Twitter, or whether it's at 888-957-9570. Here it is. Y'all ready for it? What do the Warriors do well?
They need something to fill the time there. I asked you that question. I did not have an answer in mind when I asked it. I think that's probably how most Warrior fans feel when they hear the question for the first time. I eventually came around to the answer of, well, they're a pretty good rebounding team.
Okay.
they rebound the ball pretty well.
Well,
top five in rebounds per game.
I threw out an answer that I think you thought was a joke, and it's partially a joke, but unfortunately for Warrior basketball, it's where my head went. You asked me, what are they good at? And I essentially said branding. Warriors are really, really good at getting talked about. Once again, over my shoulder, as we did the crossover, there's Kendrick Perkins talking about is it going to be a disservice if they don't do a deal for Steph?
More than a disservice, injustice.
The Warriors are the most talked about 11 seed in the history of the Western Conference. So, in other words, what the Warriors are really good at right now is being relevant while they are in a state of total irrelevancy. And that's a hard, hard fact to swallow. But that's the real. That's the real. The Warriors are really good at being the Warriors. They're a big brand. Everyone is talking about them. Everyone wants to know their big game hunting. Grandy, this has been going on every debate show in America for the better part of 6 months, if not longer. And so,
wait, this is going on last year too.
Absolutely. So we're talk about this team, and I get it. I get it. They are the Warriors. They are. They're great at branding. They've branded themselves, and this is that story of an all-time great on his way down, and can he hang on? Like, it's a super relatable thing that every human being on some level goes through, right? When the mind still can do it and the body doesn't, and all those things that we all experience. Like, that's what they're good at. And unfortunately, that does not win any basketball games at all.
It might actually hurt you more than anything.
Well,
all the talk out there.
Where this conversation then went is take last night's roster and say, what are they really good at? And here's the painful answer. What are they good at? Playing without Steph. On an individual basis. I don't mean that they're a better team without Steph. Lucas,
yeah, clip it.
Put Twitter clip down. It. Put Twitter down. I don't want to respond to those at 3 a.m. This guy Willard. Yeah, okay. They're not better without Steph. That's stupid. We're not doing that. But on an individual basis, I do think they take their handcuffs off and they leave them in the locker room because they all are like, oh, we're all out here on equal footing now, able to maybe try to do the things that we do well. And what that means is, by the way, still not a great basketball team. Struggled to get off the Utah Jazz without any of their players.
1-point game with what, like 5 minutes left?
Yeah, and the Warriors didn't have their three best players, but or three of their best players. But still, they just look like they play differently. They look like they're more free. They're not thinking as much. And they're able to play in a style that maybe fits them as opposed to all the deference that they show Steph Curry for understandable reasons.
Yeah, I think one of the easiest ways for me to visualize this and to make sense of it, because you're right, it does sound kind of crazy. The Warriors play better individually when Steph isn't on the floor. Like, one of the credits that we give Steph, and he deserves every single ounce of this credit, is he makes all of his teammates better. He makes it so much easier on all of his teammates. And that has been true for basically since he put his name on the map, like 2013, when he first was an all-star. Like, he has been amazing, and he makes everything easier for everybody else. I think there's a certain skill that his teammates need to have in order to capitalize on that, and this group might not have a lot of that skill. But the way that I visualize this, because, again, it is such a crazy idea, is think about how that game last week in Sacramento, how that game ended, right? You circled Steph Curry's heave early in the shot clock, late in that game. What, they were down by 2 with 1.5 minutes left or whatever it was. A deep three from the left wing as like a pivot point this season. Like, that was Steph Curry saying, to hell with this offense, to hell with these, not to hell with these individual teammates, but to hell with the process that I'm running through right now. I'm just going to take a shot because I trust me from 30 plus feet more than I trust anybody else on offense. The offense is ugly at the end of games with Steph on the floor, and it's not Steph's fault. He's being doubled, he's being tripled, but no one else can do enough to take advantage. The offense is that rough when he's on the floor late in game. Same thing in Toronto the week prior. They lost to one of the worst teams in the NBA. Steph was available for that game. Again, this is not blaming Steph, but that's just like the basis of this point is that's what the offense looks like at times when Steph's on the floor. And you take those snapshots of the Warriors with Steph, and then you take Steph away, and you think in your mind, what does that team look like? There's no possible way it can be better, right? Like, that's ugly as hell. Some of the most ugly basketball that any team in the NBA is playing, and there are teams, multiple teams, actively trying to lose games. One of them was in Chase Center last night, and they were only down by 1 in the fourth quarter. You take Steph away from that, and it has to get worse, right? This year, the Warriors are 6-3 without Steph Curry. 6-3. That team that looks like that when he's on the floor at the end of games. And this isn't just a bunch of nobodies they're beating up on. They beat Houston twice without Steph. They've beat Memphis without Steph. They've beat, who else have they beat? Utah, New Orleans a couple of times. Not other crazy wins. But Houston is a really good team, and they beat them twice without Stephen Curry. It makes no sense. Because if the Warriors look like that with Steph, they should be like 10 times worse when he's not there. But they're 6-3, and they're 17-20 with him.
So there's the angle of those players you're talking about who play without Steph. And then I also think the reverse angle is, what about Steph with these players? That's the other side to it. And the analogy I thought of earlier, for those of you who know the movie Shawshank Redemption, is the character Brooks. And if you know the movie well, it doesn't end well for Brooks. But Brooks is the old guy. He's the old guy who was a lifer inside the prison. And then toward the end of the movie, he gets let out. And everyone's so excited about it for him. He's excited about it. Wow, he's a free man. And he gets out into the world, and he hasn't been out there for 60 years. And he looks around, and he's like, what the hell is this world?
Doesn't even recognize it.
I don't know this world.
Yeah.
Everybody's in a damn hurry. He couldn't keep up. Everything around him was just not making sense. And that, to me, is probably somewhat applicable to Steph Curry. I got to wonder if he looks around, and I think we've seen this at times with his frustration, where he's like, okay, this doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work the same way. You heard the names that Steiny just brought up. You just brought up David West and Sean Livingston and Barbosa. And we could go on and on and on. Even more recently, if you do want to talk about the years that Jordan Poole had, or the Otto Porters and role players like that, Steph is now coming down the court. There is so little respect for anything else happening on the court. The defense might as well send five people at him. He's exhausted. His knees hurt. And when he's finally able to get rid of the ball to someone else out there, they usually don't seem to know what to do with it, and usually end up just being like, hot potato, here, let me give it back to you. None of us can create anything out here. And so does this feel completely confusing to him? Does this feel foreign to him? And therefore, from both sides, Steph Curry and the people he's playing with right now, it's not a match. It's not a match. So Steph used to play better, not just because of his age, but because of everything that was happening around him being stuff that actually was NBA-proven level stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I said this last year or maybe even before that. I think if you place current-day Steph, like today's Steph, 36, nearly 37-year-old Steph, and you placed him back like in 2015, Willard, like when he first won an MVP, Steph would be better. This version of Steph would be better than that like young pup 26-year-old Steph. Because what Steph has to do now to get a shot, like, think of how he's defended now versus how he was defended then. This isn't necessarily that Steph has fallen off a cliff and that he needs everyone else's support more. It's that he has to work so much harder than he ever has to get his looks. He would absolutely dominate 2015's NBA, more so than he did in the first place, because he now knows how to beat everything a defense throws at him. 2015 was easy. No one was picking him up at half court. No one was double-teaming him. He could get open looks just with a simple dribble move. Now he's got to run like half a mile from baseline to baseline and then up to the perimeter and then rack down to the corner, get a screen, and then cut back out just to get the ball with any kind of space. So this isn't Steph is no longer a good basketball player. This is just, there's no longer that same kind of support system around him. And I think there's also a stylistic thing that the Warriors can adjust and can change to make it easier, because there's a pretty clear picture that the rest of the roster doesn't really thrive the way that Steph thrives in the system that they run.
Okay, so how would you all answer that question? Let's take your phone calls on that right now. 888-957-9570. What do the Warriors do well? 888-957-9570. You can answer it any way you want. What do the Warriors do well? We'll take your calls on that. And also, The knockout tournament, again, is on 4 o'clock this afternoon is when you need to be listening. Every day on this station, three times a day. 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour. Right now, that's all you need to know. Be here at 4 p.m. We will tell you the keyword, and then we will tell you what you need to do with that keyword and how you can win your way in to our knockout tournament at Chase Center. Play hoops with us on the Chase Center floor. We are also sponsored by the all-new Bay Street Emeryville. Grandy is in for dibs. This is Willard and Dibs.